this morning?
We do. I asked Haven Medrano, who's serving as show producer. I said, get me Mackenzie Kelly next week on the program, and this last week, you know, from the Austin City Council. And he got confused, and he booked Mackenzie Phillips, you know, from One Day at a Time. Okay, that's not really what happened. Good morning, council member.
Good morning.
Okay, yeah, I was. It's Monday morning. I have no excuse. And I said, hey, you know, we haven't talked. I bet we haven't talked to a member of the Austin City Council or the mayor. I don't know, maybe a year. I guess I gave up. And I said, but we have Mackenzie Phillips coming on later this morning. And I just said it like twice or three times. And then everybody let us know. That's the good news. That is not your name. It's Mackenzie Kelly. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. I just want to make it very clear. I don't do drugs, and I was never on a soap opera.
And I thought she died, but she didn't die. Yeah. She's still alive. She's 60-something. Eric checked on it, and it's all good. It's all good. And I got a text from the council member and said, you know, my phone is lighting up quite a bit that you're expecting Mackenzie Phillips on. Am I the first to do that? Please tell me.
No, it happens. It happens often. Sometimes people call me Kelly Mackenzie also.
You do have two first names, two last names, I guess, in that sense. Well, you know, it has been a while since we talked. And one of the things that had you in the news, the main thing, was about the Candlewood Suites thing and one of the homeless hotels. Let me ask you another question first before we get to that. I've been seeing these stories about a lawsuit that is moving along in court, apparently, in a decision soon, brought by Bill Aylshire, who's a dang good lawyer, I'll tell you he is. He's dogged, and he used to be the county judge a long time ago here, Travesty County. And the lawsuit says that the way the 11 seats were handled when we went to the 11-person council instead of five was improper, and that it moved people into seats where people up to 2 years could not vote for their representative, and that the whole thing needs to be redone, redrawn, and elections reheld. What chance do you give that of succeeding, and where does that stand?
You know, I haven't been briefed by city legal yet. I believe that's on the executive session for Tuesday as to where we are with that lawsuit. Honestly, if I have to run again, that's more than okay. I don't mind running again. I believe in the work that I've been doing in the community and the way that I've led in District 6 compared to my predecessors. But what I will say is that it's going to take an incredible time away from that work that I'm doing.
Because sure.
Gearing up a campaign takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of effort.
And let me make a prediction. If you have to run again early, you'll win by a landslide. This would be a little different than my earlier prediction, you might recall.
Yeah.
Nice woman, doesn't stand a chance. And you did it. You beat Jimmy Flanagan. And
I did.
And decidedly, yeah. And you did it by, I think you told us, knocking on doors.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You got to get out and talk to the people in the community, which is why even now that I'm elected, I'm still out there meeting with people after hours, going to events, doing HOA meetings, just finding out what's going on and how I can help make things better in the city of Austin.
How often do you hear, and it sounds like a rhetorical question, but I hear it a lot, so I'm curious how much you do. You're the only council member up there, people say, with any sense whatsoever. Of 11, you're the one.
Yeah, and it's not just me being up there. It's me being out in the community, me talking about the things that the council's doing, me bringing things to light that people may have not seen or heard of before. I'm always out trying to push information through my social media and my newsletter to let people know what's going on. I want them involved in city government.
I was going to say, where did you come from? What made you want to do this?
What made me want to be on council? Well, I spent 8 years at the fire department as a volunteer firefighter, helping people on the worst days of their lives. Uh-huh. And then from there, I worked at Williamson County in the Office of Emergency Management. But more than that, I was born and raised in what is now District 6. And I did not like the direction our city was headed. I did not like our leadership under Councilmember Flanagan. And I decided to do something about it.
And the talking heads and the big experts like me said you didn't have a prayer.
But I did it. And you know what? The best way to get me to do something is to tell me no, Bob.
Wow. Yeah, no, you have proven all kinds of worth and value and metal in a relative very short period of time. How long have you been in office now? A little over a year?
So, yeah, about a year and a half now. I was elected in the runoff in December of 2020 and inaugurated January 6th of 2021. And, boy, has it been a ride since then.
So how many hotels did we buy and lease totally to house homeless?
Currently, I know of two, the Texas Bungalow Suites and the Candlewood Suites in my district.
We've only bought two so far?
Those are the ones that I know about.
Well, there's the leases, yeah. These are that we know about.
We've got Northbridge and Southbridge, which are transitional housing. Those are also hotels used for homelessness, but it's a different type of housing.
Right, yeah.
Transitional, so it's not permanent supportive housing. The two that I mentioned earlier are going to be used as permanent supportive housing, and they'll have wraparound services for people who are experiencing homelessness, and they'll be used just like an apartment complex would be. So the individuals would have to sign a lease, and they'd have to pay for their stay there, although housing vouchers and possible disability payments are available.
Will be handed to them, yeah. So the one that had you in the news last week, because you had a press conference, the most controversial of the proposed and actual acquisitions for some level of homeless housing was the one that's in the city limits of Austin, but it's in a very populated area of Williamson County, very populated by residences. And it's a Candlewood Suites. Tell folks where it is, would you?
Yeah, it's on Pecan Park Boulevard, sandwiched between the Frida's restaurant, which is a great seafood restaurant. I encourage people to go by there all the time. Miss Frida is wonderful. If you get a chance, ask her for a hug. And then also next door is the Homewood Suites, and there's another hotel.
Not the Homeless Suites, the Homewood Suites.
Homewood, correct, which is beautiful and actually just opened up last year.
Which will end up being next to the Homeless Suites. Okay, so we bought the thing, what, $8 or $9 million?
Yes, it was $9.5 million.
How much?
$9.5 million.
Now, that doesn't include retrofitting. That doesn't include operation. Just to buy it.
Right.
Yeah. And we bought it and apparently didn't know what to do with it at this point and put a fence around it. And what happened?
So recently it was used for COVID-19 isolation as an isolation facility, which is something that the city decided to do at the Fairfield Inn and Suites on 183, also in my district, to house individuals temporarily for COVID isolation.
Which were largely homeless.
Well, some of them were. Actually, you'd be surprised that there was a larger population of UT students staying there because they couldn't isolate safely away from their roommates.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you call a press conference and say, we have a disaster on our hands. Why is that?
Well, I was appalled and frustrated to find out that there was a break in there and there were squatters to be found living inside. The funny part about this is I found out from members of the community. I didn't even find out from the city. So I immediately went full force to let the city know of what happened. I called the homeless strategy office and I called the city manager's office. And then I decided, you know what, trust but verify, I'm going to go out and I'm going to do a site visit myself. And I went in and I immediately found damage to all three floors of the building. There was trash strewn everywhere. There were belongings from people there, clothing, belongings, and trash strewn all throughout the property. Televisions had been ripped out of the drywall. A lot of them were stolen. The whole hotel was stripped of its copper. Washers, dryers, and air conditioning systems and electrical wiring were destroyed. There was an industrial ice machine torn from the wall, and that caused water damage on the first floor of the property.
Mm-hmm. So now we're looking at some untold amount of money, because if it's insured, the city self-insures, right? So it's going to cost us a fortune to do anything with it, including maybe sell it.
Right. Well, what they're doing now is they're doing repairs. I went and visited again after that 2 days later, and I saw that the repairs were coming along pretty quickly. I was thankful for the response from the city, but in the end, this never should have happened.
Well, is there going to be security there?
Yeah. So the city has secured a security contract. So during the day and in the evening, that's being taken care of. I spoke with the sheriff of Williamson County. He's doing directed patrols in the area. I don't know how this could happen when when we were talking about this back in January of last year, and then when we took the vote on council, these were concerns that I brought to the city and said, we need to make sure that these types of things don't happen. And lo and behold, it happened, which is very frustrating and appalling. And it does nothing but cause more distrust in our community.
Well, the city dropped their agreement with the Salvation Army. God knows why. The one successful thing that was working. And then they made some kind of inference, they implied, I should say, that, well, this won't be for homeless, it'll be for homeless women and children. It's not anything the neighbors need to worry about. What is the actual plan for the facility, yes. Or is there one?
There is a plan. So this week, May 19th, we are going to discuss a contract with Family Elder Care to begin renovations on the property so 78 of the rooms can be ready to receive adults who are 55 and older experiencing homelessness. Hmm. And both men and women. I don't know how the misinformation got in the community that it was just men. But when the resolution was passed to purchase the property, Mayor Adler brought that forward. Four of us voted against it. The other six voted for it. And it had mentioned that there was a clear public purchase in acquiring the property for that price, including the possible use of it as a women's shelter. Now, I've talked to the people that run women's shelters, Safe Austin, and they did not believe that this was a good location because of the lack of services in order to support women who are in need of that type of property.
Well, the neighborhood is obviously vehemently opposed to it, and another more powerful, I would think, a body of folks that are really upset, the Williamson County Commissioner's Court, and particularly the head judge, Bill Gravel.
Yeah, and I've talked to three members of the Commissioner's Court and the judge, so four people total. I've let them know what transpired over the last, I guess, week or so, and I let them know what the plans were. So they're all aware, and they know and understand I'm between a rock and a hard place. I still don't want this there. I still know that the community doesn't want it there. I know that they're trying to do a noble thing at the city and help people who are homeless, who have nowhere else to go. But I still contend this is not the right location. There's just not much I can do about it, but hold the city accountable now that the vote's been taken.
So holding them accountable so far is clean it up, get security to safeguard it, and then what?
And call them out when something goes awry and ensure this type of thing never happens again. I'm going to have some very strong words for the way the city handled this situation on Thursday. And I hope that people in the community come out and also speak out against it. We need to hear from you. We need all the rest of the council to know that we're all upset about what happened there and that these types of criminal acts are not okay.
You said you had three other people that voted against it. Congratulations. Other than you, who was it?
Leslie Poole, Ann Kitchen, and Allison Alter. And I'm so thankful that they listened to, you know, the information that I gave about how this was really wrongly put out into the community. I didn't even find out about it until it was on a council agenda. And as a new council member, not having that information, not being able to have listening sessions with the community, doing community engagement, really put us behind. Once you squeeze toothpaste out of a toothpaste tube, you can't put it back in. And so everyone thought it was going to end up like the arch, and it was just going to be a bad thing for the community. And lo and behold, so far, this kind of criminal activity is not okay with the community.
You mentioned it, understandably, I think, with some pride, that you spend a lot of time in the community with groups, with individuals, going places, talking to them. Right now, what are more people in the city of limits of Austin concerned about? Is it having no police? Is it their property taxes? The roads and actually their safety on the roads? What's the number one issue?
Well, definitely the police. I believe there was a social media post this weekend that there were only 49 officers available for an entire shift for a city of nearly a million people. That's an absolute travesty. I brought forward a resolution.
And God forbid you make an arrest, then that officer's tied up for 4, 5, 6 hours maybe.
Yeah, I brought forward a resolution in February of this year. Kind of did a postmortem after Prop 8 didn't pass, and I thought to myself, well, how can we get more officers? What can we do now? What's our immediate goal? And so the plan for the resolution was to have the city manager present a very thorough I called it the ATX Public Safety Vacancy Staffing Plan, because we have vacant positions that are not yet filled across public safety, police, fire, and EMS, and even the dispatchers, the 911 Communication Center, which is under police. And so what I wanted is a city manager to come back with a plan to fill those vacancies. And right now it's about 3 weeks overdue. So that's something I expect to have happen this week. We'll find out what the plan is, and hopefully we'll get more officers.
Yeah, which is something that will take a lot of time, even if you could, even if you succeed. Yeah. You know, the budgeting, the hiring, the training, the assimilation. We're years away from getting back to what they dismantled.
One thing I did that was great last year during our budget talks, I was able to pass unanimously a transitional officer program, which for the officers, instead of going through an entire academy, which takes, you know, a long time, I cut that training in half, because we were recruiting officers now with prior law enforcement experience.
Right. If they've been previously trained at another department.
Right. So instead of
certified.
Having two training academies this year, we will have three. And so I'm thankful that I was able to bring that up and have that pass again unanimously during our budget talk.
Do you think we're by the whole defund the police movement now? Do you think that that's proven even to them, geez, that was really stupid?
Absolutely. I watched Joe Biden talk during his State of the Address or whatever, State of the Union address. And when he said that we need to support police officers, I was like, well, thanks for coming to the party, Joe.
He always had. Yeah, I recall that. But how about locally? Do you feel like Mary Adler and Greg Kassar, who's now gone, but several members of that council, with straight faces, told us a year ago and more, Austin will be safer with less police. And they meant it. Do you think they still feel that way?
I know several members of council who I've had conversations with who have definitely changed their mind. We've been having meetings with different departments, and several council members, including myself, went and spoke with the sex crimes unit at APD, and they asked for more officers. And I'm fairly certain that we'll see changes this budget year when it comes to discussions about funding the police department.
Do people contact you, council member, and say, you know, my home or my business was burglarized, and I called 911. They said, well, if the bad guy's not there right now, then we're not coming now or ever.
I have heard those stories, and I have spoken to business owners.
It's the policy. It's the policy.
Yeah. And we don't have enough officers to get out and investigate those crimes, which Austin deserves better and Austin needs better. And I'm proud to say that we're going to get better. It's just going to take time.
Your car is stolen. We're not coming. I'm in a wreck, but nobody's hurt. We're not coming. We, the city of Austin, Texas, that at one time, just a few years ago, had what the Justice Department said was the model police department in America for cities to model themselves after. And the mayor was running around saying, we're the safest city in the United States of America. And now we're none of those things, because they had to learn this lesson the hard way.
Yeah, and it's not. It shouldn't have been a social experiment that we ran on our community.
Social experiment. awful lot you vote on has to do with that, doesn't it?
Yes, and that's unfortunate, because we have core city services that need to be addressed.
All right, last question, and this is out of nowhere. Did you attend the Make America Great or Freedom Rally, the Donald Trump thing this weekend?
I did not, actually. I was invited to a group of eighth grade girls at their softball tournament at Town and Country to give a speech and to congratulate them and then throw out their first softball pitch. And then later that evening, I threw the first pitch out at the Round Rock Express game.
I haven't even heard how it went. I thought maybe, you know, there was a chance you might have attended. Have you heard how it went?
I actually, other than my friends who went and said they enjoyed it, I really don't know. I haven't seen any reports on it.
Well, the good news is nothing bad happened. We'd have surely heard that, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I was concerned about that. You know, protesters and not enough police. Recipe for a potential issue, but I guess guess it turned out great. Well, good. Good
I thought a recipe for disaster would be me throwing out the first pitch at the Express game, but I did pretty good. So.
You did, huh?
Yeah.
Well, whatever you did better than me, and I'm never doing it again. I mean, I've done it three or four times, and And there's a limit to just how much embarrassment a man can take. Yeah. At least they'll let you. They'll let you throw off the ladies' tee, right? You didn't have to stand on the mound.
No, I was in front of it.
God love you. Yeah. Councilmember Mackenzie Kelly, thank you for the visit. Thank you for what you're doing. Are you tired?
Not yet.
You're inspired.
Yes.
I hear it.
There's more work to be done.
I think we all hear it. Yeah. Let's stay in touch. Thank you for your time. It's been a long time.
Thank you. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Austin City Council Member Mackenzie Kelly.